as you lift a voice in praise, it's you that I see, it's you that I see. Sing it out, say.
Beloved, you are about to listen to a message from Reverend Prince Lai. Reverend Prince Lai is the head pastor of Rescue World Chapel International and the lead evangelist of Christ the Healer Gospel Campaign. He has a dynamic teaching and healing ministry with miracles, signs and wonders that has affected and transformed many lives. And now, the voice of rescue.
Heavenly Father, your word is already anointed. Anoint these lips of clay, ordain power in my mouth. By the teaching of your word, Lord, touch our lives. Lord, take away for someone here, heal the sick, and let your name be glorified in our lives. In Jesus' precious name, can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Oh, can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Clap your two hands together one more time. Oh, do it better, do it better. Do it
better.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
We appreciate God for your coming this morning. Amen. Proverbs
14,
verse
23.
In all labor, there is profit. In all labor, there is profit. In other words, whatever you labor in, you will get a reward from it. And so, laboring in the word of God also makes available profits for the believer. If you spend time to labor in the word, in reading the Bible, in meditating of the word, and whatever it is, if you spend time laboring in the word, you will have profits. And so we're looking at how to get profits, or how to profit through the word of God. And so we've been speaking about profiting from the word, and this is the second part. So we said how to profit from the word. Genuine desire and value for the word, number one. Psalm 1:2 says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. His desire is in the law of the Lord. And so for you to benefit from the word of God, you must have a desire for it. Whatever you don't like, when you study, you will not understand. I've explained that to you already. That desperation is a doorway to revelation. And insight is a product of our interest. So give the word of God first place in your life, and you will be able to profit from it. Number two, praying and asking for the light out of the word. Praying and asking for light out of the word of God. Asking God to give you revelation. When we say light, we are talking about revelation. So the last 2 weeks when I was treating this, I shared stories with you how I was reading normal Bible stories, and it became a revelation to me that I've been working with for all these years. Psalm 119:18 says that David prays, says, open down my eyes that I may behold the wondrous things in thy word. So it means that you can pray for God to open your eyes to see light or to see revelation from what you are reading. So we explain that we don't only pray for food, we don't only pray for dress, we don't only pray for clothing, we don't pray for material things alone. As believers, we also pray for the eyes of our understanding to be enlightened. According to Ephesians 1, verse 16 to 18. Number 3, praying in the spirit. And that is for today. Praying in the spirit. Praying in the spirit. What does it mean to pray in the spirit? What we are basically speaking about is praying in tongues. Praying in tongues. Praying with the spirit. John 16, verse 13. The Bible says that how be it when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. So the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of truth. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That means that the Holy Spirit is in charge of truth. Everyone said the Holy Spirit is in charge of truth. And when you are reading the scripture, you are looking for truth, isn't it? John 17:17 says that sanctify us by thy truth, for thy word is truth. That means that the word of God is what we call truth. So if the Bible says that for the Spirit of truth, when he comes, he will lead you into all truth, it means that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of the word. Oh, if you are clapping, because he says that the word of God is truth, and Jesus calls the Holy Spirit the Spirit of truth. That means the Spirit of the word. So if the Holy Spirit is in charge of truth and the word of God is truth, then the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of the word. That means that he can interpret the scriptures more accurately to you than any person. More than your teachers. More than your pastor. Because he is the Spirit of truth. No man is the Spirit of truth. Not even your pastor. That is why you go back to study for yourself for the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit in charge of the word, in charge of truth, to also expose things to you. So when you are studying the word of God and you are praying in the Holy Spirit at the same time, you are giving the Spirit of God authority over what you are studying, that he may interpret it to you. You are engaging the services of the Holy Spirit when you are reading and you are also praying at the same time. As you pray in the Holy Ghost, you are engaging the services of the Spirit of God to interpret what you are reading. Clap your two hands together. Oh, come on, do it better. You understand what I'm saying? So whenever you are studying the word of God, make sure you are in a prayer mood, a praying atmosphere. Make sure that you read the Bible speaking in tongues. Like every junction you get to, release some lines of tongues. Every area you get to, release, especially places where you seem not to have understanding. Pray in the Holy Ghost and see how the Holy Spirit will step in and will interpret that which you are reading to you. What I'm saying is a reality. It's a reality. That's what I do when I'm speaking, when I'm reading the Bible. I stop at different points and you see me speaking in tongues. I speak in tongues for maybe 1 minute, then I go back. 1 minute, then I go back. Sometimes I get up from the table and I'll come and walk here and I'll speak in tongues. I'll speak in tongues. I'll speak in tongues. I'll speak in tongues. Like 10 minutes, 15 minutes, then I go back.
Because I want the Spirit of God to open my spirit to understand what I'm reading. Put your hand on your head and say, Holy Spirit of God, grant me understanding of the word. Say, Spirit of the word, grant me accuracy in scriptural interpretation. In the name of Jesus, speak in the Holy Ghost. What, just some few seconds. Speak in the Holy Ghost. Rakata kabara kata kabara kata kabara kata kabara kata. Rakata kata kabara 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 kabara kata 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 in Jesus' precious name, receive understanding. Let me hear your amen. Receive understanding. Shout, I receive it. Receive understanding. And every child of God, you must have understanding of the scriptures. So Paul prayed and says that the eyes of your understanding will be enlightened. Otherwise, you will not enjoy the word of God. And so you must learn to decode the things you are reading by the Spirit. By speaking in tongues. By speaking in tongues. And go back this week and start experimenting it and see the difference. And see how wild what I'm teaching you is. You will see that you will hardly go through something you don't understand. It's not even just the Bible. As a student, when I'm studying, those days when I was in school, I make sure I study in a spirit-filled atmosphere. I put on something, some cool music, spiritual music. And then as I am studying, as I'm working the mathematics, so I'm reading, so I'll be speaking in tongues. I'll be speaking in tongues alongside. When I get to the end of any line, I just, instead of just sitting down relaxing, the relaxing is what? Speaking in tongues. It has a way it refreshes you. It has a way it grants you understanding. Because interpretation of the scripture is an assignment of the Holy Spirit. It's one of his works in your life. Jesus says that when he comes, He will lead you into all truth. Jesus said, lift up your hand and say, Holy Spirit, lead me into all truth. Say, lead me into all truth. Why is it so? Because the Holy Spirit is the author of the Bible. Listen, there are many writers. There are many people that the Holy Spirit used to write. They are called writers. But the author of the Bible is the Holy Spirit. He used about 40 different men to write the scriptures. From fishermen to kings, to judges, to lawyers, to medical doctors, physicians. To tax collectors, different people, the educated and the uneducated. But the author behind the writing of the Bible is one person called the Holy Spirit. Tell somebody seated by you, the Holy Spirit is the author of the Bible. He's the originator of the Bible. The Bible came from him. He instructed holy men of God and they wrote. He instructed Peter, Moses and Paul and they wrote. He told them, write down this and they will write it. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 20 and 21. 2 Peter 1 verse 20 and 21. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of scripture is of any private interpretation. There is nothing in the Bible that is somebody's mind that they wrote. But holy men of God, he said, for prophecy never came by the will of a man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Holy men of God were moved to write, and they wrote. And they spoke. Are you getting what I'm saying? Or are you understanding what I'm saying? They were moved by who? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. That's why 2 Timothy 3:16. Go there. Is that all scripture is given by inspiration of God? The Holy Spirit of God. All scripture, everything you are reading. You and I understand that if it's the author, there is no book, there is nobody that can explain or interpret a book than its author. There is nobody that can explain a book more than the one who wrote the book. Do you agree with what I'm saying? So if the Holy Spirit is the author of the Bible, then you must begin to engage him as you are reading it. You must begin to engage his services. You must begin to engage his health services. Everywhere you get to, Holy Spirit, give me understanding. Holy Spirit, give me understanding. Holy Spirit, give me understanding. Then you release some lines of Holy Spirit language. Once you do that, your spiritual understanding will be opened. Clap your two hands together. Clap your two hands together. Clap your two hands together. Number four. Through making demands on the blood of Jesus Christ. Through making demands, applying the blood of Jesus. How will you profit from the word of God? Is by approaching it through the blood of Jesus. The blood is our weapon for victory in all levels, in all circumstances. Revelation 12 verse 11. The Bible says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. So it's our weapon for victory at all levels. To maximize the profits of the scripture, you must approach it by the blood of Jesus. Because first and foremost, the blood of the Lamb, which the blood of Jesus, is what was shed to open the seals of the book you are reading. In heaven, nobody could have the book. It was the one who shed the blood.
I was showing him.
Book, no. He took the shedding of the blood. He took the blood of Jesus for us to have access to the book.
And I'm here to Christ. Any more channels? So and it we might be now. Kenya, I can trust him.
Revelations chapter 5.
It's in no.
From verse 1 all the way to verse 7. All the way to verse 7. I want to read with us all. Everybody, lift up your heads and let's read it together. Number one, go. Let's go. And I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside and on the back sealed with seven seals. A scroll is a book. It's a book.
I can't scroll. And I say,
a book can be in the form of a reel. A scroll, you roll it. Like those days, they open their books by rolling. Or it can be in the form of a codex. Codex is what you have it today. You open this. It's called codex. It's either a reel or codex. Hello, do you understand what I'm saying? I said a book can be in which form? Reel or scroll, you roll. Or codex.
And I said, yeah, to me,
in nowadays, so in those days, they had the Bible on scrolls in a real form. We have it in a codex form. Those of you in pastoral school have taught you.
Now, over here,
they were using the roll, the scroll form. So he said, I saw a book in a scroll form. And behind the book was seven seals. Nobody can open it. It's like seven locks. The Bible has been locked to many people. Do you know that? There are many people, they hold the Bible and they understand graphic, daily graphic better. They don't understand the Bible. Ask the one by, do you understand the Bible when you are reading? Do you understand it at all? It looks like they are reading some. Meanwhile, they are educated. But it's like when they read the Bible, they don't understand it. It's just Bible stories they will be reading. Because there are seals. There are seals. There are locks. There are locks on it. Seals on it that must be broken before you can. And the Bible says that in heaven, this book that was supposed to be opened has this seven. Then verse 2, everybody, rise to your feet. Let me read with you, everyone. Rise to your feet. This book is a very holy book you are reading about. Rise up and read it. One, go. I can't hear from the back. Shout it, one, go. A strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is qualified to open the scroll and to loose its seals? Who is qualified?
Why not obey to me?
Who is qualified?
Mama and our friends.
On the earth, who is qualified?
As I see, so wanna.
In heaven, who is even qualified?
I was so.
Read verse 4. Shout it, one, go.
Verse 9.
Verse 3. And no one, read one, go. Was able to open the scroll or to look at it. Say, what a shock!
What a shock!
This word of God that you are reading by heart,
that shows me how kind of send your pen.
Where it came from, they could not really look at it. Where it originated from, they can't even look at it. Now, I hear that people roll it and they use for jot, they smoke weed. Because they said they want the word of God to enter them. They're Rastafarians. They are smoking the word. Mercy. About where the word came from.
As we be a trust
in heaven.
Oh, so
you can't touch the word.
Want to be found sample.
You can't get close to it.
Want to be men.
You can't even look at
it. Want to be shared.
And the angel, a strong angel, was asking, who is qualified?
And above one went to the end. He said, he to me.
Verse 4. Everybody read. Are you enjoying what you are reading? Read it, one, go.
So I wept much. Mm-hmm.
No one was found worthy, qualified to open and read the scroll or look at it. So John was crying because nobody was qualified. Nobody. Go on. Go on from the back. Shout it, one, go.
But one of the elders said to me,
do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals. Wow. Are you appreciating what you are reading? Some of you, it's me reading with you. You are beginning to understand. You have been reading sometimes. You never understood what you are reading about. Because there were seals in your head. There were seals on your eyes. You can't see. But all of a sudden, it looks like it's cocoa. You are beginning to understand something. And because the Spirit of the Lord is exposing you. Then the next one, verse 6. Everybody read, go. One, go. And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne, and of the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamp as though it had been slain, having seven horns, seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent out into all the earth. Clap your two hands for the Lord. Say the lamp of God. Oh, I can't hear. Say the lamp of God. That was slain from the root of Jesse. What is his name? I'm asking a question. What is his name?
Jesus.
His name is called Jesus. Shout Jesus.
Yes.
So Jesus was slain in heaven before he came on earth. And the Bible that the Bible is describing him with seven horns. And seven eyes. Which represents the seven spirits of God. And those of you who have studied deeper into the scriptures with us in the Bible, you know the seven spirits of God. That the spirit of might, the spirit of the fear of God, the spirit of understanding, the spirit of knowledge, the seven spirits. Go on. Then he came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. So do you see that one person was able to take the scroll? The one whose blood was shed. So the number one access to unlocking the seals or even taking the book, the Bible, having access to the deep things in the Bible is going through the blood of Jesus. You and I, that is our advantage. Or tell somebody by you, that is your advantage. That Jesus has shed the blood for you. So anytime you mention the blood, you remind heaven that you also have access. So when you plead the Bible, plead the blood of Jesus over yourself. Plead the blood of Jesus over your soul, over your spirit, over your body. And ask the Lord to open your eyes. Because he took the scroll. All right, for clapping you down. And then verse 8, finally. Now when you are taking the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, which each having a sharp and golden bowl full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Clap your two hands for the Lord. Take your seat now. So now Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God that was slain. And with his blood, he had access to the book. So you and I, with the same blood of Jesus, we can have access to the same book. So the blood of Jesus and making demands of it is what gives you advantage when it comes to scriptural interpretation. He was the one that opened the seven seals by the blood. So the next time you plead the word of God, plead the blood of Jesus. Go through the blood of Jesus. The next time the message is coming to you and you seem to be battling with interpretation, Lord, I plead your blood over my mind. I plead the blood of Jesus over my eyes. Let understanding enter into my spirit. Let understanding enter into my heart. The moment you start making demand on the blood of Jesus, heaven is petitioned with the same blood of Jesus, and understanding will be released to you. Clap your two hands together if you understand. Amen. Are you appreciating it? And that is why whenever we approach the communion table, we connect to the blood of Jesus. And so we take advantage of this blessing of scriptural interpretation. Through the communion, by the blood of the communion. Luke 24 verse 30 to 31. The Bible says after Jesus resurrected, he changed his appearance. He was looking like a different human being. And he took a journey through a street called the street of Emmaus. Everybody said the street of Emmaus. It's like to say he took the Alabama road. The Alabama road. That's the Alabama road. That's the market street. They call that street the street of Emmaus. It's just like to say the Alabama street. It's just a road. The Bible said there were certain disciples who were chatting. They are not part of the 12 disciples. They were other disciples. And they were chatting. They were saying that, oh, we thought this Jesus was the one who was coming to save us. So, yeah, but since he died, that's all. And they didn't know that Jesus had resurrected. So they were just discussing and they were so sorrowful and heartbroken. Then the Bible says that Jesus appeared like a different man. And then he got close to them. Then he started asking them questions. Children, what are you talking about? Then he said, oh, are you the only new person in Jerusalem? Johnny just came. Are you the only new person in Jerusalem? Everything I'm saying is in a chapter. You can just show it. And then Jesus said, what has happened? He said, oh, don't say about Jesus of Nazareth, the man that was working miracles. We thought that he was coming to save us, but he has been crucified, and today is even the third day of his burial. They didn't know he had resurrected. And Jesus didn't tell them that I am the one. I was just chatting with them. Then they got to the city. The Bible said that he started explaining deep things about the prophecies of Moses, the prophecies of Isaiah, and all the Old Testament prophecies, how Jesus must die. He was explaining to them, but he didn't tell them that he's the one. But he was just teaching them like a Bible teacher. But you people, have you forgotten that he kept telling you that he would die, he will resurrect, and then all that? So as he was explaining, they were like, ah, who is this man? They were confused. They didn't know. Then the Bible says that they got to the city and they said, oh, Charlie, let us eat. Then they started eating. Then he took the bread like he did Matthew 26, which these people are aware of, and he broke the bread and he shared it to all of them. Then they said, ah, why is he breaking the bread like why is he sharing it like that now? Then the Bible said that when they started eating the bread, bam, their eyes were open. Then they said, it is he. Then he disappeared like a magician. There are many things in the Bible you have not read. Jesus could appear and disappear.
Yes, no.
But how did they get their eyes open? You see, their eyes open there does not mean that they were physically blind, because they were walking, chatting, so their eyes were wet. But the statement after they took the bread, their eyes got open, was a spiritual language. It means that all that while they didn't understand that Jesus was the one working with them. He took the communion that Jesus did with them again to open their eyes into understanding that Jesus was the one talking to them. I speak over you right now that the next time you engage the communion blood of Jesus, may your spiritual eyes be open. I said, may your spiritual eyes be open. I said, may your spiritual eyes be open. Shout. Shout your loudest, amen. Clap your two hands together for me. So that is one of the benefits we get through communion. Spiritual understanding. Otherwise, you'll be holding the Bible, you don't understand. They were working with Jesus, the living word, the working Bible. They were working with it, and yet their eyes were shut. Until they ate that bread again. Until they partook of the table again. And their eyes were open. Clap your two hands for them. You know that he did it to the 12 apostles also. They went for fishing, and he changed himself to a different fisherman. Then he came there. So Jesus has the power to change to different people. Then he asked them, children, what are you doing? They said, oh, we are coming. They said, have you caught anything? They said, no, we've tried all night. The same thing like what happened in Luke 5. Then the Bible says that Jesus told them, let's go for fishing again. And he took them, and all that while Peter and John were there, the main people plus one or two others, and they didn't know it was Jesus, because he was looking different. And the Bible says that when they went for the fishing this time around, they caught plenty of fishes again. Wow. The same miracles he did for them from the beginning. Yet it didn't occur to them, their eyes were still blind, they didn't know it was Jesus. Because this time around, if Jesus was a tall man, he came a short with a lot of beard. So they said, no, it's not Jesus. Jesus is dead.
So when they came back, then Jesus told them that let us roast some of the fish and eat. So they roasted some of the fish and they sat down round like Jesus sat with them. Then Jesus took the fish and he broke the fish and he started sharing. Take. He started sharing. They started watching. Ah, this guy, his behavior looks like master. The way he's behaving and the things he was saying. And then they also started eating. Then they also, their eyes opened. So anytime you partake of the holy table, one of the things that happen to your spirit is eye opening. Your eyes are opening to the spirit. You have spiritual understanding. You begin to appreciate spiritual things. You begin to have understanding of spiritual things. So I pray for everybody here that the next time you partake of communion, may your eyes open deeper. Let your amen be the loudest. May your eyes open deeper. May you begin to understand spiritual matters. May you take command of spiritual things. May you grow spiritually. May you mature spiritually. Clap your two hands and say, I receive spiritual understanding. Through the blood of Jesus. Clap your two hands together for the Lord. Come on, love the Lord. Clap your two hands. Number five, through the power of meditation. Through pondering over what you are reading. Now, this is the trouble of a lot of people. Because this one, it depends on you. A lot of people read the scriptures without meditating on it. So you will not get the best things that are in the word. If you want to get the spiritual nutrients that are in the word, you must take your test it. Just like natural food, when you eat it anyhow, without taking your time to masticate, without taking your time allowing it to digest, you will not be able to have the nutrients that are in the word, that are in the food. How many of you understand what I'm saying? When you eat your banku, you have to take your time for it to digest. When you are eating something like yam, things that are hard, you must use your teeth to masticate, to chew. So that it will be broken down into simpler forms. Then it can help digestion. If the thylene or whatever you call it is released on that block of yam, it won't break. It will not digest fast. Do you know that the digestion of carbohydrates start from your mouth? So if you take the block and you swallow the yam and it goes into your stomach, you will not get any digestion. You will not get a good digestion. You have to be chewing it. And as you are chewing it, your saliva is releasing a hormone. And that hormone is breaking it. It has started digestion. So that you can get the nutrients from it. Now, that is how it is. When you read the scripture, when you are reading the Bible, and you rush it. In the beginning was the word was going, the word was going, the word became, oh. You will not understand anything. You will not profit from it. Are you getting what I'm saying? You must take your time. Tell somebody, take your time when you are studying the word. Take your time. Take your time. And chew it. Take your time. And chew it. Say meditation. Or everybody say meditation. Bible says in Psalm 1 verse 3, it says that by his delight is in the law of the Lord. Go to verse 2. His delight is in the law of the Lord. In the word of the Lord, he meditates day and night. If you want to get profit from the word, you must meditate on it.
To meditate means to think about it. To think about it. To think about it. When you are reading the Bible, do you stop to think about it? Please ask the one by you, do you stop to think about the word? Do you stop to think about what you are reading? You just read, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. What is the meaning of that? You will never get meaning unless you stop to think about it. Unless you stop to meditate on it. Unless you stop to start thinking about what you just read. For God so loved the world. What does he mean? You ask yourself that question. God loves the world. What does he mean? Then your mind is working. Then the Holy Spirit begin to speak to you. God loves the world. God loves the world. That means that God has an affection for the world. That God doesn't want the world to be destroyed. God cares about us. Who are the world? The world are the people in the world, everybody on earth. As you are thinking about it, the Holy Spirit is now helping you. He's now giving you understanding. He's now breaking the thing down small, small for you. So God loves the people in the world. God cares about the people in the world. But the people in the world, are they not the people who have sinned against God? Yes, they are the people who have sinned against him, but God is not angry. God still loves them. Then you are beginning to appreciate the verse that he gave his only begotten son. What's the meaning of that? Yeah, because he loves us, he has to do something about it. So he gave somebody to come and die. His only begotten son. You see, one verse, you are thinking about it. You are thinking about it. You are chewing it. You are rehearsing it in your mind. You are thinking about it. How many of you are getting what I'm saying? And the more you are thinking about it, you'll be getting the answers. So he gave his only son to come and die for us. So that whoever will believe in him, it doesn't matter what they have done, they will not perish. What does it mean they will not perish? That means they will not be destroyed. Hey, that means there is some destruction ahead of us. Then if you know other verses, the scripture will bring it to your mind. You see, that's why, because we're going to hell and other things, that the Holy Spirit is now teaching you. So when you close that Bible and they now ask you that, what is the meaning of John 3:16? You understand it. Because you took your time to think about it. May God help you. From today, never rush through the scriptures. It's like ruminant. How many of you know ruminant? How many of you study ruminant? Now, if you want to perfectly understand meditation, you have to look at the goat or the sheep. How many of you have seen how goat or sheep eats or cattle? They go to the field, and because there is competition, they have to chew as much as they can. So over there is no time to take your time and break it, because other sheep will finish it. So the moment they catch the guy, they start grazing, they are chewing the thing and they swallow. They don't take their time. They just cut it, back, back, swallow, cut, back, back, swallow, cut, back, back, swallow. And so they wouldn't have gotten any nutrient from it. But because God knows how they are, so God gave them four chambered stomach. I will say four. Four chambered stomach. That's what we call the ruminants. And so when they take their food, what you are seeing them taking from the grass, they have not started chewing. They are just storing it in the first stomach. What's the name of the first stomach? Is it Omazum or what? What's the name of the first stomach? What? It's not reticular. It's Omazum. Omazum is the one on the right side. Omazum. They put it there. They store the food in the first stomach chamber. Then after they leave, they go and lie down somewhere. Then you see that they will be chewing like 2 hours. But there is no grass around them. But what is in their first stomach? They push it up. Then it comes into their mouth. Then they start chewing the card. We call it chewing the card. They start chewing it fresh. This time around, they take their time to grind it well so that the nutrients can be extracted. Then it moves to the second, abomaso, to the third, then it goes to reticulum, on and on till it comes out. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now that is the art of meditation. When the word of God enters into your spirit, you must take your time to think about it. Who is he talking to? What is he saying? Who is the one talking? Where were they? Such questions will help you to chew the cat. Such questions will help you to provoke revelation. Who is speaking? Who is being referred to? What is he talking about? What time were they talking? In which geographical location are they talking? What is talking about today to the first century? What can it be compared to? Those days he was riding a donkey. Today it will not be a donkey. Today it will be Corolla. You have to ask such questions. It helps you to meditate. And meditation will let you get the best. The word of God. Clap your 2 hands. Have I done a good job to explain? Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So pondering, reading, thinking over and over and over. So this one, it takes time. It's not for those who are rushing. That's why we did a vote for you to help you, because we know you don't have time. We just did vote for those who don't have time, so that at least we have digested it for you. You just take it like you go to the pharmacy, you go and buy medicine that has certain nutrients. Instead of eating food for you to take, you just remember. Now, VOD is like you enter into the pharmacy. And we have prepared the vitamin A, vitamin C, but it's just there. So, when you read the scripture, we have explained it. We have explained it. It's like my message, like this morning, like this. It's like fully my message, like that. So, it's like me preaching to you. Word to word. That one is not your meditation. It's my meditation. I've done it into medicine for you. Just take some. It's better than you don't. But if you have time, if you really want to go far with God, you must sit down and read other scriptures and meditate and make notes. Then you'll be able to get the prophet. Clap your 2 hands together for the Lord. Clap your 2 hands for the Lord. Joshua 1 verse 8. That this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you meditate in it day and night, so that you observe to do according to all that is written in it. Meditation empowers the believer to obey. Let me show you something. Everybody, open your eyes and check me. Let me show you something. Look at this scripture. Everybody, look at this scripture. Highlight what I'm going to say. It says, this book of the law shall not depart
from your mouth. That's number one. You eat it. But you shall meditate. Now, underline meditate. Highlight. You shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe. You see, the reason why when you do your quiet time and we meet you in the afternoon, we ask you that today, what did you read? Then you have forgotten the scripture. It's because you just read. You didn't meditate. Meditation, unam kwansono, now enekra, then I'm a kind, you know, then you rehearse the scripture. Then you think about it again. So by evening, when we ask you what you learned, you remember. But those who just read the word, just read the scripture, I bet you meet them in the afternoon and ask them what they read. They'll not remember the scripture. Because they didn't meditate. He said day and night. Now, underline that you observe to do. And everybody watch this. He says that, but you shall meditate in it day and night, comma, that you may observe. That means that so that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. Everybody say so that. I can't hear from the back. Say so that. Anytime you hear so that, it means that something has been said. Do something so that. So that is like the resource of something you should have done. So he said, I meditate so that you will be able to observe to do. You will be able to obey. That means that those who just read the Bible, they don't obey the Bible. Because they don't get the power in it. They read that shall not fornicate, but they will go and do it. Because they didn't meditate in it. But meditation empowers you to be able to obey. The more you think about it, the more it affects you. The more you meditate on it, the more it empowers your spirit. So that when you chance on a temptation, you can say no to that temptation. Why? Because the scripture has blended with your spirit. You have meditated on it so much that you can't say no. No, you can't say yes to it. You can't fault it. So that you are able to observe to do. If you want to be able to have the power to obey the Bible, and don't just read it, meditate on it. You have chanced on thou shalt not steal. Meditate on it 1 week. Meditate. If you know that is your problem, meditate. If you know immorality is your problem, look for that scripture and meditate on it for like a while and pray with it. Say it will empower you when you even see a naked woman, you cross over. I'm telling you. I'm telling you. So meditation is what empowers the believer to walk in obedience. Meditation is what unlocks revelations. Psalm 1 verse 2, his delight is the law. In the law he meditates day and night. So mere reading of the word will give you knowledge. Bible stories to just give you knowledge. But meditation is what unlocks revelation. Insight comes by meditation. And meditation is the source of true transformation. Psalm 1 verse 3. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. When he meditates in verse 2, then verse 3 will happen. Transformation will happen. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in his. His leaves shall not wither, and whatever he doeth shall prosper. May that be your story. I said, may that be your story. If your amen is loud, that will be your experience. I said, that will be your experience. May the word of God you are hearing, may it become your experience. May the word of God you are reading, may it become your experience. Clap your two hands and say, I receive the spirit of meditation. So it is what brings a change of life. It is what will make you have the profit. Your life will become from flourishing, fruitful, shall be like a tree. Your life will not be anyhow. You will not be dry in the spirit. Because you don't just read the Bible.
You just read the Bible. You don't even feel spiritual. You don't even feel the anointing. Because you just read it. You must meditate on it if you want to feel the anointing. You want God to speak to you, you must meditate on it. And then finally for that one, you become what you meditate on. Proverbs 23 verse 7. As he thinks in his heart, so is he. As he meditates in his heart, so is he. So when you meditate on the word of God, your life will start living the word of God. Your life will start living like the word of God. Then finally, number six, as I close, through the power of confession. It is not enough to just meditate it. You must start speaking it. You must start saying it. Speaking the word of God is a key to unleashing the power into your life. Use your mouth to say what you are reading. What you are studying, use your mouth to say it over your life. If you want to benefit the word of God that has come to you, speak it over your life. Open your mouth and then use your own mouth and say, thou shalt serve the Lord and he shall bless my bread and my water. It is not in the Bible. It's not because it's in the Bible that it will bless you. It is your mouth that you used to say that will make you bless you. I will take sickness from thy midst. None shall be barren in their midst. This time around, it's not just what you are reading, you are saying it. The power is in your saying it. The power is not in the writing of it. That is the letter. The rhema is what saves. If you want to benefit from the word of God, don't just read it. Don't only meditate it. But start talking it. Start talking it. Continue speaking it. Start talking it. That the Bible says, I shall not be the tail, but I shall be the head. The scripture says, I shall be above only and not beneath. The scripture says, he shall take sickness from me. The scripture says, I will not put the diseases of Egypt upon you, for I am the God that healeth thee. The moment you start using your mouth to say what is written, the power is released. Jesus looked at the enemy and said, it is written. The power Jesus used to overcome the devil is not because it is written, but because he said it. It is written. Be a talking believer. Tell somebody, talk the word. Tell somebody, use your mouth to say what the Bible says about your life. Don't say what your body is saying. Don't say what your pocket is saying. Don't say what your friends are saying. Say what the Bible is saying. I wish above all things that you excel. I cannot fail. Use your mouth to say it, that I cannot fail. These exams I can't fail. I cannot fail in this business. But the Bible says it is written that I will be above only. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It is a assemble ban for so amawa. Use your mouth to say. Don't keep quiet. You don't have money. There's no money. You are struggling poverty. Don't use your mouth to say that I don't have money. Don't use your mouth to say that I'm struggling from poverty. Rather say that it is written.
So what you say?
That I am not poor. By his poverty, I have become rich. And so I receive prosperity. It is written that I wish above all things that you will prosper. So I will prosper. Don't use your mouth to say that I'm poor. Say, I am prosperous. Don't say there's no food in the kitchen. It says, I'll bless your food and your water. Use your mouth to say the Bible into your life. Are you getting what I'm saying? Ask the one by you, do you understand what that is saying at all? Do you understand what your pastor is saying? Because that is how to get the profit. from them. It's by speaking the word. 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 Don't let it end up in the Bible. Let the word end up in your mouth. Don't let the word end in the Bible. Let the word be on your mouth. 2 Corinthians 4:13. We have the same spirit of faith. According to what is written, I believed, therefore I spoke. We also believe, therefore we speak. Every word you don't confess, you don't believe it. If you believe it, if you believe what you are reading or what you are hearing, you also start speaking it over your situation. Situations surrounding you only answer to the word of God you speak. Not the word of God you have written, the one you are speaking. Your job will answer to what you are speaking. Not the one that is written. What you are using your mouth to speak. And so use your mouth to say something about the situation. The man told Jesus, Matthew 8:8. He said, only speak your word and my servant will be healed. Speak the word only. Tell somebody about you, speak the word only. Tap him and say, speak the word only. Hit another person, tell him, speak the word only. Don't speak your feelings. Don't speak the fact. Don't speak what the doctors are saying. Don't speak what the news is saying. Don't speak what your body is saying. Don't speak what the resource is saying. Speak the word. What did the Bible say? What did the Bible say? Speak that over your situation. Speak that over your life. Speak that over your children. Speak that over your business. Speak that over your marriage. Speak that over your situation. Speak the word only. And the situation will change. Clap your two hands for the Lord. Listen to me. It is not just fornication that destroys people. It is not only sin that destroys people. It is not only speaking against Jesus that destroys people. Also using your mouth to say negative thing can destroy your life. 1 Corinthians 10:8 and 10. It said if you commit sexual immorality, you will be destroyed. 23,000 of them were destroyed because of sex. Then verse 9, some of them also spoke against Jesus. So the Bible said that, and they tempted Jesus and they were also destroyed. But it didn't end there. The third group of people that God destroyed in the wilderness, aside the fornicators and those who spoke against God, are the verse 10. Read the verse 10. Everybody read the verse 10. Verse 10 is that no mama. Read the verse 10. 1 Corinthians 10:10, please. We read verse 8, verse 9, and we are now going to read verse 10. Verse 10. Everybody read one go. Those at the back, you are not reading one go. Those at the back, for the last time, one go. Nor complain, as some of them also complained and were destroyed by the destroyer. Do you see how people got destroyed? The verse 8 says that those who committed sexual sin were destroyed. Verse 9 said those who spoke against God were destroyed. The verse 10 says that those who also complained. Mama, you use your mouth to complain and people are not buying. And everything I'm writing, I'm not getting correct. And you are using your mouth to complain about your husband, complain about your wife, complain about your ministry, complain about life. As you use your mouth to complain, and it's hurting me, and my leg, and this, and that. As you complain, the destroyer will destroy you. The destroyer will destroy you. I pray that may no destroyer destroy you. Let your amen be the loudest. May no destroyer destroy you. May you not use your mouth to give the destroyer license to destroy you. Clap your two and say, I'm free from the destroyer. Because I will confess positive. Impossibilities, they bow down to the word of God. Luke chapter 5, verse 5. Simon said, Master, we have toiled all night But we caught nothing. But that's your word. At the word you are speaking now. At the word you are speaking now. And truly when they obey the word. Bam, there was a miracle. Mark 11, 22, 23. The Bible says that have faith in God. What it means that have the God kind of faith. The God kind of faith says that he seeth the things that be not as though they were. He says them.
Okay.
Let there be light. You need to say, why is the place so dark? Let there be light. Let my marriage appear. My marriage is sweet. Not because reality it is so, but he's making it a reality. I am healed. Not because you don't feel anything, but because you have the faith of God. And verse 23. He said, for verily I see. Whosoever shall say to the mountain, be removed and be planted in the sea, he shall receive exactly what he said. Exactly what he said. So impossible situations, they become possible when you use your mouth to speak the word. Speak the word. Tell somebody seated by you. Tell somebody. Don't shut up. Speak up. Tell him, don't keep mute. Keep your mouth loose. Tell him again, don't shut up. Speak up. Don't keep your mouth mute. Keep your mouth loose. Clap your two hands together. Clap your two hands together. Clap your two hands together. So in conclusion, don't take the word of God casual. Don't see the Bible and then you think it's nothing. Don't take the word of God casual. Don't take Sunday coming to hear the word of God casual. It has the power to create and to recreate your life. According to Hebrews 11 verse 3. Be intentional with the word. Be serious and intentional with the word. And labor in the same. Work in it. Spend time on it. Look for revelation. Labor in the word. 1 hour. 2 hours. Labor in the word. And very soon, you will profit. Listen to the word of God. Download it from the podcast. Listen to my preaching Monday to Sunday. Every day, just be listening. By so doing, things will begin to change. Changes will begin to show in your life. You shall be like a tree planted by the rivers. Your leaves will not dry up. Your life will not dry up. Everything about you will be fruitful. Clap your two hands and say, I walk in that dimension. Rise up to your feet.
Beloved, thank you for listening to this message by Reverend Prince Lai. If you have been blessed by this message and have not surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, kindly say this prayer after me. Lord Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you died that I may live. Please forgive me and wash me with your blood. I believe I am a child of God. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. If you have said this prayer, know that your sins have been forgiven and you are now a new creation. We invite you to worship with us on Sundays at Odoko, adjacent Best Point Savings and Loan, Odoko Market. For more information, please call 0543-248-982 or 0241-372-895. God richly bless you.